It'll be over shortly, I promise. I promise. Oh, bless your hearts. Oh, wow, man. What a great day today. What a great music special that was this morning. I want to tell you, it was a miraculous offering. I don't know if somebody really got moved of the Spirit of God and put in a big bill. I know my family put in some money. But we had, let me just share this with you right quick. Now, I may have missed some folks, but we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 regular families out. 15. And the church still took an offering of $387.46. Amen? I asked Ronnie, I said, what was the offering last year? He said it was a little over 400. I thought, man, somebody must have got convicted. Praise the Lord for that. Folks, I want to tell you, we've got folks out traveling, and we've got folks out other family arrangements and stuff. But, boy, we need to be a church that's praying for our group to be here. If I was a visitor coming in this morning with my family and I saw like five people on this side and a bunch of people over here, I would have thought, I have come into a split church. It's not even June yet. It's not even June. And we can get a big evangelist here and we'll build a crowd. Right? Man, he'll tell us stories and jokes and halfway entertain. But my goodness, it takes more to church work than to revival for a year. Okay? It takes the grinding out of going to Sunday school. It takes the coming to the preaching of the Word of God and all of those things. So just not to make it too heavy, but hey, that's where it's at. 15 families, 30-plus regular people out today. Two of them were in my family, so I'm feeling it with everybody else. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll try to finish up what we began this morning. I was trying to keep my comments brief, and we ended up going long. I don't know how that happened. It just happened. But anyway, that's just the way life goes sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And $387.46, that's a lot of scriptures, isn't it? Amen. That are going to go out. It's a blessing that we get to read from God's Word this evening. God's Word reads in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And verse 7 that's an incredible, filled, full, impactful passage of Scripture right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the day, Lord. We pray for those in our congregation. Lord, we pray that there would be a spirit of committal, a committed body of believers. Lord, let us be sold out and focused, Lord, to be where you've called us to be. Lord, we're going to have vacations and family obligations, but Lord, we pray that they not all happen in every family on the same Sunday. Lord, may you spread these things out through the year, and Father God, may we have a good testimony when we come together for each and every service. Lord, we pray you continue to add to us, and Lord, bring those back that are, for whatever reason, not here. And Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Thank you that we can be in your word tonight. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, we were talking today that God not only provides the gifts, but he also empowers them. That was verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now, what was the issue? What was going on with those Corinthian believers? What was going on with that? Remember that? We talked about that a little bit. They were more interested in appearance than they were in what? Substance, right? They didn't want the substance. They wanted the appearance of substance. They wanted, we talked about this morning, they were more interested in success than being what? Being submissive. They were more interested in that, right? They wanted to copy the gifts and practices of those who seemed to be the most successful, who seemed to be the most popular, who seemed to be the most powerful. And that's great on one hand. You know, they were seeking to really get involved and really do what all these other people were doing, but maybe God hadn't called them to do that, right? Maybe God hadn't called them to do that. Have you ever met anybody that... never met a stranger, right? I mean, they just never met a stranger. And you think, man, wouldn't it be awesome if God called that individual to preach? You know, because they just never met a stranger, right? That ain't how it worked out in my life. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to be in front of people. This, when I was in high school, I would take a failing grade instead of getting up in front of people. Oh, just get. Well, Stephen, that's going to cost you a whole letter. I mean, you've got a low A. If you'll just get up there and try, you'll have an A for the year. I'm not getting up there. Well, Stephen, that's going to bring your grade down to a B. And for some classes, Stephen, that's going to bring your grade down to a C. Yeah. And in college, it was even worse. First couple of semesters in college, having to get up and make a presentation. That's not how... Sometimes we think we know what God is putting on somebody else. We think we've got it all figured out, but that's the Corinthians. That's what they were after. They wanted this success rather than being submissive. They wanted to be noticed and praised more than being obedient and faithful. And in their immature Christian walk, the Corinthians valued the more dramatic gifts, and we mentioned this, touched on it just a little bit this morning, especially speaking in tongues. The Corinthians were not concerned with using the Lord's gifts in His power to serve Him and His church, but in using these dramatic sign gifts in their own inadequate strength and for their own selfish and proud purposes. And as we've already mentioned here this evening, there's more to church work and serving the Lord than just the sign gifts. See, you got to have somebody in the nursery. You got to have somebody that's going to clean up. You got to have somebody that's going to do the grunt work. It takes everybody. Amen? Amen. And when we think about, what I want you to think about is this. You know, Pastor, do folks really need to discover their spiritual gift? Do folks really need to exercise their spiritual gift? Well, kind of think about it like this. 30-plus regular folks out today. When you looked out there, could you notice? Yeah, I mean, say those folks are here. Say everybody's here. All the whole congregation is here. Man, parking places are slim to none. People are having to park across the street. I mean, every part of this church membership is in the house. It would look huge, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be awesome, right? But you know what it looks like to God? When it's full physically, but people spiritually aren't working their spiritual gift, you know what it looks like to God? Like there's a big hole out there. There's a big hole out there. Oh, they're here. And some folks may be using their what? Maybe using their skill, maybe using their intellect, maybe using their talent for the Lord. That's all good and great things. Man, when we get saved, When we get saved, what has God got? God's got every bit of us, doesn't He? He's got every bit of us. So our talents and our intelligence and our skill and all of those things need to be used in the church. What I'm saying, everybody's got a gift. And man, let the church be free to exercise its spiritual gifts. Amen? And we're getting ready to talk more specifically about what those gifts are. Amen? That's what we want to do. So God not only provides the gifts, He also empowers them. What I want you to see here in verse 7, let's look at that just real quickly tonight. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about saved folks, amen, right? The Holy Spirit, when you get saved, what'd you get? You got the Holy Spirit, you got infilled, didn't you? That, right. You got a gift when you got infilled, all of those things. Boom, there it is. What is the whole point? We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, verse 1, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And then verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What's the point there? What is the point? Why do we send the Bibles out? Why do we have Gideon's International? Why do we take up a love offering for these guys? Why do we have Bibles today? Why are we trying to teach our kids the Word of God? Why do we read the Word of God? Why do we pray? What's the whole point of all that? What is it? It says it right here in verse 7. It's in there. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The whole point. Having the Word of God, being saved, is to make, are you ready? To make the Holy Spirit known. Make the Holy Spirit known. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were to make Jesus known. You make the Holy Spirit known, guess what the Holy Spirit does? Holy Spirit doesn't say, look at me. Holy Spirit says, look at Him. Doesn't He? Doesn't the Holy Spirit drive us to Jesus? Doesn't the Holy Spirit convict us of sin? Doesn't the Holy Spirit prick our hearts to the point where we exercise this choice, this free will that we have? And we accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? Yeah, the Holy Spirit points those lost folks to Jesus. See, the whole point of verse 7 is the making known of the Holy Spirit. The making known of the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into this as weeks go by, but there's such a struggle with the Holy Spirit. People think, man, you know, if we get off into that Holy Spirit stuff, it's going to get weird, right? No, it's not. No, it's not. No, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the helper, Parakletos. I mean, man, don't be afraid of Him. You need Him. You want Him. Amen? If you're saved, you have Him. A few observations about verse 7 and about this point and about who you are, about what God wants you to be. We talk about the making known of the Holy Spirit as a great thing. Not only is every believer gifted, but every believer is perfectly gifted. And I think I mentioned that this morning, but you get an opportunity to hear it again. That's observation number one. Observation number two, no other believer can take our place in God's heart. Did you know that? No other believer can take our place in God's heart. Think about that for a minute. Wrap your mind around that. No other believer can take our place in God's heart, and no other believer can take our place in God's work. Did you know that? No other believer can take your place in God's work. That makes your giftedness, the gift that He's given to you, very specific and important. See, observation number three, He has given no one the exact gift He has given you. Oh, it's just for you. You say, but it's a teaching gift. Yeah, but it's your teaching gift. It's a little bit different for them because they're not you. He's given no one the exact gift He's given us, and He's given no one the exact ministry He has given us. Isn't that great? That's good, great stuff. And observation number four, if we do not use our gift, then no one else will. I can't use Brother Mike Tate's gift. He can't use my gift. We may have the same gift, the gift to teach, but this one's mine and that one's his. So if he doesn't use his, I can't use it for him. Right? You have the gift of mercy, you have the gift of generosity, you have the gift of helps. Guess what? You don't discover it and use it, nobody else can use that gift but you. That's your gift. God gave it to you. Amen? That's your blessing. That's your source of encouragement. Encouraging unity in the church is exercising your gift. Let's look at a couple of words here, a couple of little phrases here in this verse 7, and then we'll close it out and get into a prayer time. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Manifestation, basically, in the Greek language, has the basic idea of making known, making clear, making evident. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Spiritual gifts make the Holy Spirit known. Spiritual gifts make the Holy Spirit clear. Spiritual gifts make the Holy Spirit evident in the church and in the world. So, if you have a unified church, what do you have? What do you have if you have a unified church? You have people in the church that are working their spiritual giftedness. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the evidence of them working their spiritual giftedness is unity in the church. Right? Unity in the church. If there's not unity in the church, nothing will be clear. Have you ever walked into a place? We're talking about intangibles here. You ever walked into a place and you just get a sense that God is there to move? You ever walked in that place? I mean, it's an actual geographical place, right? It's an actual geographical place. You walk in there and you just get a sense, man, the Spirit of God is thick in this place. You really can't what? What are you talking about when you say that? You really can't describe it. You really can't define it. But do you know what? You know when it ain't there. You know when it's not there. Wow, what's that? Well, it ain't there. What do you mean, what? What ain't there? Well, I don't know, but it ain't there. I would like it to be there again. Can't it be back there? Can't we have it there some more? Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I think we're all trying. Manifestation, basic idea of making known, clear, or evident. Spiritual gifts make the Holy Spirit known, make the Holy Spirit clear, make the Holy Spirit evident in the church and in the world. The meaning of this word is the opposite of hidden or private. Most folks in churches today want what? What do they want? Entertainment and privacy. Turn the lights down. Turn the lights off, brother. Turn the lights off. Just have the platform on. Just the platform. Take the lights down. Just give me the platform. All right? See, I can come in with my coffee and my donut, and I can sit there, and my sin's what? My sin's hidden in darkness. And then the band's up here entertaining me, and then the pastor's going to tickle my ears and praise me. Turn them back on. Well, I'd rather have them off. Sorry. Right? Make known. Make known. It's the opposite of hidden or private. And then this little phrase here, to profit with all, means mutually beneficial or advantageous. See, there's a little selfishness in me on this. You discover and work your spiritual gift, it's a good thing for me. It's a good thing. You discover and exercise your spiritual gift, it's a good thing for everybody. It's a good thing for everybody to profit with all. You discover and exercise your spiritual gift, it's a good thing for the lost man, for the lost woman. It's a good thing for your lost family members. You discover and exercise your spiritual gift. It is what does God's word say? To every man to profit with all. Spiritual gifts are to be edifying and helpful to the church, to God's people, who He brings together in His name. That's what they are. They're sources of unity. They're sources of encouragement. Again, we talked about that Sunday school lesson today. The church ought to be the most what? The most encouraging place that we go all week. If people are discovering and working their spiritual gifts, it is that kind of place. It is that kind of place. But if we've got a place where people are hiding their gift, No. Let's just keep that gift on in here. That's a private thing. You know, if I let that gift out, then my whole schedule is going to change. My whole socioeconomic way of life is going to be different. I want to keep that thing suppressed. I'm in control of it right now. I don't want the Holy Spirit doing anything through me. My soul, I might come to church every time the doors are open and join Bible study. That can't happen. That can't happen. You see what I'm saying? It's not about keeping it private and suppressed. It's about what? It's about letting it out. Letting it out. Amen? Who's our oldest member in here? Who is it tonight? Brother Carr? He's not. I don't see Brother Carr. Where's Brother Carr? Not feeling good? Not here. Miss Carr, how old are you? It's not polite to ask a woman how old she is. Well, Miss Carr, how old is Brother Austin? How old is Brother Carr? 84. That's on up there, amen. He don't look it. He don't look a day over 75, amen. When you talk to your senior adult friends, all right, when you more mature adults talk to your senior adult friends, there was a time in the history of this great nation called the Great Depression. Y'all remember studying that in school? The Great Depression? These two up here have heard of it. The Great Depression. Now, do you remember the little financial fallout we had into 2007, 2008? Remember that? Praise the Lord, that's over with. Amen? 1970, some of you remember a little financial downturn there? $3 an hour. Wow. All of these little financial hiccups since the late 20s and the early 30s, all of these things, these corrections in the markets, the housing bubble busting, all of those things, all of these things pale in comparison to the Great Depression. The Great Depression was a tragedy. People jumped out of buildings to their deaths. People lost everything in a matter of days. Banks repoed everything, and then other banks repoed those notes that those banks had. I mean, it was just a mess. During the Great Depression, one such movement of poverty was taking place in West Texas in the Permian Basin. When you get home, Google the Permian Basin. It'll kind of show you where that's at. It's out in West Texas. There was a man out there in West Texas in the Permian Basin by the name of Yates. Mr. Yates ran a sheep ranch. Anybody ever heard of Mr. Yates, Permian Basin? Some of you maybe, I don't know. Anyway, this guy, him and his wife, they were doing everything they could do to turn a profit, to pay the bank what they owed for their property and their equipment and all of these things. And times were tough during the Great Depression. They got to the point where they had to take a government subsidy to hang on to their farm. So they did it begrudgingly, but they took it. They took the government handout. Well, things were a struggle. Things were difficult for Mr. Yates, but one day, a geological crew came by, and they had been doing some tests in the area, and they really began to pitch to Mr. Yates that they should allow, that Mr. Yates should allow them to put up a wildcat drill on his property. They brought out all this paperwork. They wanted him to kind of peruse through it, and they needed a series of signatures for them to be okay to put up this oil derrick. He looked at it. He thought about it. He looked at his wife. They knew the struggle that they were in, and he agreed. And so these men came back, and they had this wildcat crew, and they began to assemble this oil derrick, this drill. Well, drilling began, and they went the first time 500 feet. They pulled the drill out, and guess what? Nothing. Mr. Yates is kind of wondering and sweating here, and they go back down into the hole, and they take the hole all the way down to 800 feet, and they pull the bit back out, and there's still nothing. They go back down and they tap it all the way to 1,000 feet. Certainly, they thought, man, we've done it this time. They pull again the bit out, the drill pipe out. It's a dry hole. The geological crew is so certain, so sure, that they crank that wildcat drill bit 1,100 plus feet down. And when they did, and they pulled it back, oil shot out of the ground. It didn't just flow. It exploded up out of the ground. The place had been known as Yates Ranch. They changed the name of it to Yates Pool. It became one of the largest oil reserves, one of the richest and largest oil reserves in Texas. Overnight, Yates and his family became millionaires. His property, I'm sorry, I told you it was a ranch. It was once known as Yates Field, became known as Yates Pool. Hundreds of oil wells dotted the land where once only sheep grazed. Now, I want you to think about that. Here was Mr. Yates. He was a man who all along had the potential to make millions. That was his land. But until what? Until somebody came along and said, why don't you go down and get down into that stuff? Mr. Yates was on welfare. But when he finally made the decision to allow somebody to explore, that's when he what? That's when it all turned around for him. This is what I'm trying to get at you. We struggle along as Christians in spiritual poverty, spiritually poor. We've got all this inside of us. We have the third person of the Godhead in us. We have been sealed for the day of redemption. Jesus Christ is in us. We've invited Him in. We've asked Him to save us. God's Word says that the Holy Spirit comes into us. We've been filled, amen? And yet we don't what? We don't access it. We would rather live on spiritual welfare. That's what we'd rather do. Come to church, go through the motions. But if we will explore, if we will plumb, if we will drill the depths of our hearts, the depths of our soul, to see what God has for us, there shall be showers of blessing. Like the sea billows roll coming up out of us. God's got something in us. He's put something there, and it needs to be set free. Amen? It needs to be set free. Now, I may be preaching to the choir tonight. Each and every one of you in attendance may say, hey, man, I've discovered my spiritual gift. I know exactly what it is. And we're fleshing that thing out. Praise the Lord, good for you. But if you're not, think about what we've shared this morning and again tonight. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the spiritual gifts that you've bestowed upon us at the time that you saved us. And Lord, we're just blessed beyond measure. We just stand in awe of what you want to do with us. How you want to minister through us. How you want to make us an instrument of unity in the church, an instrument of making known the Holy Spirit, an instrument of pointing people towards Christ. Individually and corporately, we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, help us be the people of God you've called us to be. May we be more concerned with submissiveness than success. May we be more concerned with obedience and faithfulness instead of being recognized and praised. Father God, we need to be a house of prayer here so that your Spirit might move in a powerful way. Help us be a praying people. May we pray down a movement of God like the church has never seen before. For your glory and for your honor, for the salvation of the lost, for the building of the kingdom, for your gospel to go forth. We praise you and we thank you for all you want to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at our prayer list or think about our prayer list tonight.